I mean, in some way, I think we did well to go so far into like, this is bad and it came good again.
I think we've made it full circle.
I hope so.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the TLDR podcast. I'm Jack Kelly and I'm joined by Ben Blissett.
Hello.
And Rory Taylor.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Good. Yeah,
feeling
very good.
Yeah.
Good.
Sorry.
What?
I was just anticipation.
Just anticipation.
Yeah, excitement.
Exciting.
Normal podcast.
Normal podcast.
Yeah.
Are you feeling more North American today, would you say, vaguely?
Feeling, yeah, if I had to pinpoint, I'd be pretty Canadian.
Right Canadian?
Now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wonder what that is. As always, in today's episode, we're going to be running through our main story, which today is, I honestly don't know. What is it?
We'll find out. We're going to talk about local elections, which are...
Are we keeping this in?
Sort of behind the scenes,
okay,
behind
cool,
the lens.
Cute.
Local elections, which are happening...
In Canada?
Here, okay. In the UK, on the day of release of this podcast.
Great.
I think yes, tomorrow, today.
Today.
Thursday. Yes.
In the UK.
Yeah.
Not in Canada. We're also going to be running through our underreported stories of the day, and we're going to be going over the World Leader Leaderboard and updating how we think the winners and losers politically this week have shaken out. Let's start with underreported stories, though, and let's start with yours, Ben.
Yeah, so this is... unreported in the sense that I think certain aspects of the media have looked incorrectly at this story.
Mm.
So it was sort of announced this morning by the right-wing press that the first flight technically to Rwanda has happened, or at least the first deportation.
From Toronto?
Not from Toronto, no, from the UK.
Okay.
Really going with this Canada thing this week.
You haven't seen how hard the graphics went.
Okay, that's true, I haven't. I'll assume that they've gone quite hard.
Sure.
Ministers are claiming that the first Rwanda flight has taken off. The sort of like unnamed migrant involved in this was flown to Rwanda on Monday evening, but is actually technically under something called the voluntary removal scheme.
Mm.
So it actually has kind of nothing to do with the Rwanda scheme. There's all of this debate about the Rwanda Bill, Safety of Rwanda Act now, all these different bits of legislation to try and make it work. This has nothing to do with any of that. This is a completely separate scheme called the voluntary removal scheme. The person received £3,000 from the UK because they agreed to be removed to Rwanda. The UK has paid for 5 years of housing for this individual and is getting employment support as well. I mean, the claim that this has anything to do with the Rwanda plan is an absolute falsehood. It's absolute fiction. Even people on the right are criticising the government, claiming that this is them making the Rwanda scheme work. Nigel Farage himself, obviously, former leader of UKIP, very critical of immigration in the UK, has said it's not going to stop the boats and it has nothing to do with the Rwanda plan.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of irrespective of where you lie on the political spectrum, like you just can't, it's just inconceivable that this has anything to do with the Rwanda plan, despite how the government are trying to spin it.
Cool.
You get the sense that maybe they did this the week of local elections to try and say, hey, look, something's happening.
Something Rwanda-ish.
Yeah, but I can't imagine it will move the dial at all.
It's also, what a terrible line from the government that we're going to fix. You know, we're pointing to this example as an example of them fixing immigration, of like, you know, an example of like a policy they could roll out more widely. They've paid someone £3,000 to go to Rwanda and have paid for their housing for 5 years.
Mm.
That is not... That is what the Rwanda plan is.
This is someone whose asylum claim is processed and then rejected, not just someone who crossed the channel and then instantly got sent. It's completely different.
It does sound like quite a lot per person that they've had to stay here while their claim was processed. It had to then be fully processed and then voluntarily they take quite a lot of money to leave.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a plan
that doesn't work.
I didn't say it.
Well, at least, I mean, what they've done so far
hasn't worked.
Surely this isn't what they want to sell to the public as what the Rwanda plan is.
If it's all they've got, maybe it is.
Maybe.
Rory, anyway, what's your underreported story of the week?
Mine comes from Canada.
No way.
Yes. So, yeah, I thought it'd be good to do a bit of news from Canada, since we never cover it on this podcast.
No.
Be good to shed a bit of light on there. But now I feel like this story is a bit too sort of lighthearted and something. So I'm not sure how well it reflects on my knowledge of Canadian news, but we'll see.
Okay.
Basically, the leader of Canada's opposition, a guy called Pierre Poilievre, I believe. Any Canadians can correct my pronunciation. He's the leader of the Conservatives in Canada. He got kicked out of Parliament for calling Justin Trudeau a wacko.
This wacko policy by this wacko Prime Minister.
I'm going to ask the Honourable Leader of the Opposition to withdraw that term.
I simply withdraw and replace with the aforementioned adjective.
I order you to withdraw from the House.
Which is apparently unparliamentary language. And the Speaker said, you know, withdraw it. And he didn't. He refused to. So he got kicked out of Parliament. He called him a wacko. I've got the full quote. It's to do with drug decriminalization. So Poilievre said, when will we put an end to this wacko policy by this wacko Prime Minister?
Whoa.
Which apparently you can't say.
I saw your quote there, and I sort of saw the first half of it where he said wacko policy, and I was about to defend him and say, well, he's not describing the Prime Minister as a wacko.
True.
He's saying it as a wacko policy.
He then doubles down.
But then he doubled down, so there's no defence there, is
there? Yeah, just add that to the list of words you can't say in
can't Parliament. Say wacko.
Yeah.
We'll know that.
Can't you say, will we?
Yeah.
Can we bleep that?
Yeah.
Probably can. Can you?
No.
That's not parliamentary.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
If you can't say,
you have to bleep
like,
that too.
We can't. I think it's about calling people those things.
If I call
yeah, I think they wouldn't allow
there's
that.
There's been a few instances where people, especially people in the Commons, have had like hate mail sent to them, and they'll like read it out as a transcript. So,
oh yeah, what if it's quoted?
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should bleep it either way, though. Yeah. Let's move on to the main story. We're going to be talking about the elections. Unfortunately, not the Canadian election, because that's not scheduled to happen for another couple of years.
Actually, it's next year, the latest.
Next year? Yeah. Oh, wow. So there'll be another Canada special soon?
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Next year, then. So let's talk about the elections happening in the UK, disappointingly. Do you want to run through an overview of what we can expect before we dive into kind of more of the details of what's happening today as the video comes out?
Yeah, so people are going to the polls all across the UK. No?
No.
England,
not Northern Ireland and not Scotland.
Okay, some of the UK.
Yes. And they're voting in, I think... can we just cut this out a second?
So do you want to run through an overview of what's happening today as this video comes out, as this podcast is released, and then we'll get into some of the more details.
Yeah, so voters sort of across England and Wales are going to the polls today to vote in a sort of variety of different elections. So the big ones, the ones that people have sort of like spoken about quite a bit, are the local elections. These are elections that, a lot of the local elections are ones that had previously taken place because cancelled elections and timings were all a bit weird in 2021. And that was back when, you know, when Johnson was in his sort of honeymoon period. The Tories did very well in those local elections. So basically, they've got their starting from a very high point, an almost artificially high point, because this was before Partygate had happened. This was right in the middle of
the vaccine rollout,
all of that sort of stuff. So the Tories are sort of defending around 1,000 council seats. It's expected that like a bad day for them would be them losing around 500 of those 1,000. Labour are also defending roughly about 1,000. Obviously, they're expected, considering their national polling, to be doing very well. But that's the thing that a lot of people are talking about. There are also other elections taking place. There were police and crime commissioner elections, which are pointless, so we won't cover them. And then we've also got a by-election happening. And it's to do with... So this was... I'll throw over to Rory here because
okay yeah sure
I'm starting to forget the constituency name.
Yeah. No,
sorry.
I was also going to say there are mayoral elections as
There are also mayoral. Sorry, yeah. And there are also mayoral elections. Obviously, the biggest one being in London, but there's also like
Manchester, West Midlands, Tees Valley. There's ten mayoral elections.
So we've got Burnham, how many Andy streets? You know,
how many can we name? How many can we name out of the 10?
Yeah,
you've done four
out of the 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, four.
Four. Rory, can you beat four?
People or elections?
Elections.
So we've got London, locations. London, Manchester, Tees Valley, West Midlands. There is I think it's a new East Midlands mayor.
Sure. Oh, East Midlands.
Then there's there's a, it's like North Yorkshire or any, there's, the problem is there's a lot of just like directions and places. I can't remember what combination of directions
there
are. It is
weird that not many of the mayors are like actual cities. Like you'd expect just named cities.
This is why, authorities. It's very,
this is like, why it's very forgettable.
Why is there not a Birmingham one?
Like it's very odd.
Bigger than Manchester.
Mayor of the Northeast is a sort of strange concept.
What about Liverpool? They have one?
Do they have a mayor?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
They by law have to all be called the same name.
Come on. Doesn't count.
What?
Does Liverpool mayor, is it a proper mayor?
Liverpool have had their previous mayor has exactly the same name as the current mayor.
Oh, got it. Yes, I remember this.
Yes.
But is it a real mayor?
Is it a mayor with authority rather than like a Lord Mayor kind of style, or is it a mayor with a bell?
Okay.
I spoke so confident. You asked me a question. I was like, "Yeah, you know." I was giving you all the facts. And then you start throwing curveballs at me.
Not even throwing. I'm just mildly probing, and you're falling apart.
Are they a mayor, or are they a?
Well, everywhere has a mayor. But some mayors just have bells, and some mayors have like budgets.
There's a tattoo somewhere, I think.
Okay.
What was the question about Blackpool South?
What was the by-election?
Blackpool South by-election.
There's a bunch of mayors.
Yeah.
And like most of them, we don't know about or care about, it turns out.
Well, don't say we. But really, the mayoral elections that are sort of being focused on because they might switch are West Midlands and Tees Valley are two big ones because they're the Conservative incumbents.
Two of the four we know.
Yeah. London, obviously people are paying attention to London because it's London.
Yeah, but...
Even though Sadiq Khan is polling very comfortably, but it would be very embarrassing if he loses and for him.
And for him.
It's mostly Tees Valley and West Midlands a lot of the focus is on.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Andy Burnham's going to win.
Sure.
King of the North.
King of the North. Yeah.
That's almost an elected title, it seems. Yeah. Chuck a cardinal direction in it, and that would be a position.
Yeah.
I find it interesting as well that both Andy Street and Andy Burnham in their, like...
Called Andy?
Well,
That's interesting.
Okay.
If you found that interesting, I'd be very concerned.
That's not what I found interesting.
Yeah.
Not nearly as interesting as a Liverpool fact, let's be real. But, both of them in their, like, their election literature... very minimal on their party branding. Andy Burnham, presumably just because he's an institution in and of himself, so he doesn't need the Labour sort of tag because he's polling so well. And I think Andy Street probably for the opposite reason.
Yes.
Because he's a Conservative, you know.
Yeah.
So you don't really want to be advertising that.
Certainly there were comparisons between Sadiq's and his of like how much Khan mentions all of like, regularly photos of him with Starmer and all these kind of things, and then
in
like,
his manifesto I've seen the same thing where it's the comparison and there's pictures with him with Rachel Reeves and the Shadow Cabinet and Andy Burnham is very much like you are voting for me and me alone, which is fair. I think he is a proper institution, but
let's move on from mayors because turns out
we don't know what we're talking
about.
There is a by-election
sorry just a straw poll. Do you think they're a good idea?
Yeah, I think particularly when you see what people like, and Andy Burnham, there is a reason that he's so sort of popular in Manchester, and there is a reason that he's sort of nationally quite popular when you're looking at what he's done for Manchester. You know, he's expanded quite a lot of their like transport network. He's been a really proud advocate for Manchester when you had things like COVID settlements, and when the government were handing out and doing like lockdowns and things like that. And you had the tiered approach. He was a really good advocate for that area. And that position sort of elevated him to be able to do that. I think that if they're given the right funding and the right sort of like authority, you can really make a difference to a city with those powers and with that budget. And Andy Burnham's been a really good example of that.
I think the issue with the system we have is that it's sort of arbitrary as to which areas have mayors. Like they've just been doing like bespoke deals for different regions, whereas really we should just establish... sort of level of governance system that's sort of universal or like at least follow some sort of logic. I think it's this slightly odd system, but
okay,
for those that have mayors, pretty good I suppose.
We got one.
Blackpool South by-election. Basically Scott Benton, Tory MP, resigned because he was going to be, there was a recall, basically he got done in a like a lobbying sting operation. And they were going to suspend him for 30 days, I think. Sure. Recall petition triggered, but instead of facing that, he decided to resign. He had a very relatively small majority in what was a previously Labour seat. So I think no one's expecting anything other than Labour picking up that seat. So that's not really going to be a massive story, but just adds to the potential for Conservative losses in the wider picture.
I think and with that, I think the issue is that there's been talk for a little while about backbench rebels using today as a sort of springboard to try and unseat Sunak. And I think that is a just objectively terrible, terrible idea. I mean, things are going quite badly, but I think the sort of rebels seem to forget that in first past the post, you can keep dropping. Like you might be sitting on around maybe 100 seats if you're lucky right now, but you know, you could end up with 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the rebels who are frustrated with Sunak, who think that if they go harder right, then they might be able to recover this, that they might be able to improve their polling. I think that they might try and use this as an opportunity to try and get signatures for a vote of no confidence in him or something like that. Obviously weaken his authority going into the election, which would sort of hurt Sunak, you know, at best hurt Sunak, and at worst unseat him, have somebody else in there, and their polling could drop even further. That would only serve to sort of reaffirm this image that people have of the Tory party as deeply divided, deeply fragmented, and sort of not being able to even run themselves, let alone the country.
Yeah.
You know, it builds into that image that has sort of been created. So yeah, that's the sort of concern from Sunak's point this week, is that because you've got a load of different elections happening, if he loses them all and he loses sort of like 500 of his council seats, then you know the rebels might sort of use that negativity towards him to try and unseat him, which, as I've said, I really don't think would be a good idea on their behalf.
Yeah, this is. Sorry, I just remembered something quite interesting about the mayoral
elections. Oh no, don't bring so back
the East Midlands mayoral election.
Yeah.
This is a new mayoralty that they've invented.
Yeah.
The guy running as the Conservative candidate is Ben Bradley, who currently is a Conservative MP for a seat in that region, and he's also the head of that local council. And now he's running to be the mayor of the region. So he could have three jobs that he's been elected to.
That's crazy.
At different levels, which I don't know how.
Surely that's not possible.
Yeah.
How do you have time?
No idea.
That he will just continue in all three?
Yeah. I guess maybe he's also thinking, I might lose my seat at the next election. If I can be a mayor, that's a job.
Yeah. Do you think he'll win?
The mayoral election. I think he has a chance of winning the mayoral election. I don't think it's guaranteed, but it's up for grabs.
Okay. Interesting.
It's difficult because people don't really do much polling on these, especially the ones that are new.
Yeah,
new mayoralties.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, that was just to take us back to the mayoral election.
No, have you both voted today, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah. How was it?
It was great. It was in a church.
Was it?
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm gonna vote after work.
Me too.
Primary school. Polling station.
Where's yours? Fair. Where is yours?
At primary school as well.
Oh, yeah. Jealous. Church sucks.
Like, how was the weather?
So boring. If you look behind you can see it's very dry today.
So it is, yeah.
But this is a good bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought this was a good bit.
No, it's a good bit.
Yeah.
It's not
a good bit.
Oh,
I think it's quite amusing that the Tory rebels have this plan that they've sort of set out. They're saying, if we replace Sunak, we'll get like a Penny Mordaunt type person to unify the party. Then they've got this 5-point plan and 100-day policy blitz, and they say, well, if we do all this, we can turn things around. And it involves things like cutting migration, cutting benefits, solving the junior doctors dispute. And it's like, these aren't things that the government hasn't been trying to do. If there was
a
magic
bullet, you could do these now.
Yeah.
It also really just reeks of desperation. And what makes that even more painfully obvious is that they've had, you know, at this point, 14 years in, and they seem to think that, oh, there's all these things we've failed on, but we'll just push them through in the last 100 days. And it's like, that isn't a good indictment of your government over the last 14 years. And it certainly doesn't inspire confidence from the electorate that you should get another term. If the perception is that you've waited 14 years to do all of this, and only through some sort of like backhanded deal to get a certain person into power, that you've decided to fix these five things. And even if they're successful, the question is, if it was that easy to do in 100 days, why didn't you do it 14 years ago?
And why did it take you however many leaders as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, they're obviously in a difficult place. And I know that he got, I can't remember who said it, but it was a few weeks ago and he got quite widely mocked for saying it. But like, they just need to march towards the guns, I think they said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, bluntly, that is just the best thing you can do now is just accept that the best you're going to do is probably 100 seats and sort of try and come to terms with
that. Defend like, your seats that you've got.
Yeah, because if you do anything else more risky, you're gambling your 100 seats for maybe 150, but what's more likely is you'll just end up with 10.
That would be wild, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, my guess is that, I think the local elections will go badly for the Conservatives. Mm-hmm. They might win Tees Valley and lose West Midlands, but I think Sunak will be fine. Like, I don't think he's going to be ousted.
Okay.
It just seems, I think there are enough Conservative rebels that they can maybe force a confidence vote.
Okay.
But there's no way that the rest of the party would vote to get rid of Sunak. No. I just cannot see that happening.
No, I agree. They'd have to be.
Yeah. And I'm skeptical as to if they could even get enough seats.
It would have to be wackers.
You're going to have to withdraw that, or you've got to go. Sorry.
Get out of the podcast.
I stand by it. Yeah. I'm going to grab the ceremonial mace next.
Okay, so today is obviously election day, and when we're recording this, we have no results. And as alluded to in the superb bit a minute ago, we are also recording this a day in advance, so none of us have been to the polling station. Shock twist. but what do you expect to happen? What numbers are you thinking? We don't need to run through the mayoralties, because as established, we don't know who they are or where they are. But
well, we know four.
We know four of ten. Of the seats in the local elections and the kind of councils, what do we expect there?
Well, as I said, a bad night for the Tories would be sort of 500 out of the 1,000 that they're defending. Mm-hmm. So I reckon 300.
Okay.
I think they could lose up to 500. Like I would say 400 to 500. They can lose that many.
Sorry, you think Ben thinks they're going to have 300 or lose 300?
Retain 300 of
them. Lose 700 then.
Right.
Roughly.
Okay. Wow.
Are you taking the big prediction over or under on that? It depends how you're measuring it.
Yeah.
More or less.
I think they're going to lose fewer, between 400 and 500 seats. That'll take them to about 500.
Okay.
That's what I think. Labour will pick up most of them. But I think, here's my little sub-prediction.
Oh,
Greens will be on the rise. I think they're going to they're underpriced right now. So
Lib Dem or Green, if you had to back one of them?
Proportionally, I think Greens will do better.
Okay.
Make more gains.
Agree, disagree?
No, I think, I think Greens are polling quite well. And, I think
Greens. Get your bets in now on Greens. Invest in the Greens now.
By election, who's winning?
I think Labour.
Confidently?
Yeah, but I mean, they've overturned far larger majorities than this in the last couple of years.
Yeah, Labour, by election.
Andy Street will lose.
I think Andy Street will lose narrowly, I think.
I think he'll win. I think he'll retain it.
And
which is a mad, just to make clear, again, I just qualify this because I have said that I think the Tories are going to lose 700 local elections.
Yeah, the contrast here of your predictions.
However, I think he's going to do quite well because he's separated himself enough from the Conservative Party and he's seen more as an institution.
What about the other bloke?
Tees Valley?
I'll say it again. Okay. What about Tees Valley? Will the Tories retain that or lose that?
I think they will because the polling suggests that he does have a lead. Okay. This is Ben Houchen, who won with like 70-something% in 2021, which is insane. So I would guess Andy Street loses, Ben Houchen wins.
Ben?
I'm winning both. I think they'll win both.
Oh, really?
Oh, interesting. Wow. Okay, cool. Finally, the guy who's going for the triple, the one who wants to be MP, councillor, and mayor. Is he going to get the triple?
He's getting all three. Yeah.
No, I don't think he'll be mayor.
Baby triple.
No. But
we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Sadiq Khan, you confident in Sadiq Khan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I just
give us a percentage.
I would say, like, I'm.
Oh, percentage he'll win.
Oh, okay.
What will his number be? Not your percentage of confidence.
49%.
Okay.
It's tricky.
What did he win last time?
Depends if you. Because they have the.
It's the second round.
Transferable vote.
Yeah, they changed the system.
I think second round he ended up with like 55 so or something.
Rory basically says just shy of a majority.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think slightly less than that.
40?
No, I go 45.
Oh, you're really trying to price is right in there.
Yeah, you're 48.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Those are the predictions. We will loop back next week to see how we did.
Mm.
In fact, we could
be so horribly wrong.
We could maybe on Friday do a bonus podcast where we just run through the results. I know Jeremy's not here, but Scarlett could do it.
Is Scarlett in?
This is just a scheduling meeting.
This is the worst.
We'll find out on Friday whether we're here or not based on the company's scheduling.
If a video comes out, watch it.
Let us know your predictions in the comments right now.
Yeah.
We predicted three mayors. We predicted the man who's going for the triple. We predicted overall seats. And did we predict anything else? That's it.
By-election, but it's not a massive one.
Predict all of them in the comments and then give yourself a score next time. Be honest. And see if you can beat Ben and Ryan.
Yeah. There is one other mayoral election that is interesting, actually. And I think it's Northeast, but again, it's the whole directions thing. I can't remember.
Who cares? Who knows?
I can't remember exactly the directions that we're talking about. Mm. I think it must be Northeast. Anyway, it was a Labour mayor, Jamie Driscoll, who was the Labour mayor, but he didn't get re-selected. Then he got kicked out of the party, I think. Now he's running as an independent against a different Labour candidate. So he's a sort of independent incumbent trying to beat Labour in this Labour area. So it's sort of like the Andy Street thing. You know, can he use his local popularity to beat someone else? So that's kind of an interesting one where it's Labour versus ex-Labour rather than Tory v Labour. But,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we'll loop back to that too on Friday, maybe, depending
possibly
on scheduling.
Yes.
Okay, and let's close today's episode with the World Leader Leaderboard. Every week, we run through our winners and losers of the week and adjust their positioning on the board based on who is doing well and who is doing badly this week. So let's start with losers of the week. And Ben, let's start with your loser of the week. Who is it?
Yeah, so unsurprisingly, given what's happened this week, Hamza Youssef is my loser of the week. And I actually want to put in an application to get rid.
Oh, you want to kick him off the board?
Wow.
Yeah.
Strike down the record.
He's done. He is done. Yeah, I think we can remove him from the board.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
He's off the board. Do you want to explain quickly?
Yeah, I mean, he was First Minister. He technically is still First Minister, but he is soon to not be First Minister. He had a little sort of metaphorical punch-up with the Greens and lost, and now he's done.
You can have it.
Just side note. I've just realised I haven't actually printed my up.
That is an issue.
Is an issue.
Good job, it's animated now.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, good. Okay.
Ben literally
does podcasts.
No, I do know. I do know it's animated. I didn't know that it was only animated, though.
Well,
it's not. Did you not just see me go over there?
No, I did. But this is what I'm saying is that this is why I'm saying it's an issue that I haven't printed it.
This could be the podcast that seals the fate of podcasts.
This podcast has killed the podcast. Everyone, comment in the chat if you want the podcast to die on the back of this. Rory, who is your loser of the week?
I am moving down friend of the channel, Fumio Kishida.
No!
I say friend of the channel just because I feel bad because I think I put him on there in the first place and this entire time I've been moving him between the bottom two rungs, I think.
Oh, he's in the third from the bottom currently.
So he's moving down one. Yeah, so his party, the Liberal Democratic Party in Japan, they lost three by-elections in one day on Sunday, I think, which is really bad for obvious reasons. He's deeply unpopular. The party is sinking in the polls. They're going through a bit of a crisis. There was this big sort of corruption scandal. And there's a lot of talk. There's actually quite a good parallel with Rishi Sunak, I think, where very unpopular leader, party. There's lots of kind of talks behind the scenes about, will they get rid of him? But the reason why they're probably safe is because there isn't a clear alternative.
Yeah.
But he's going down anyway, because three by-elections in one day is bad. Yeah.
Ben, who is your winner of the week?
My winner of the week, which I don't have a face for currently, is Nigel Farage.
Whoa. Wow.
I'd like to apply to have him on the board.
He would. Interesting. I was going to say he might be the only unelected person, like not in an elected position on the board, but I think, is King Charles on there?
No, not anymore. He would be. Starmer.
I suppose also Ayatollah Khomeini isn't exactly elected.
True.
Well, we won't get into it. Yeah.
Okay, make your case.
So the reasons are is that there's more speculation that he's going to come back and join and possibly even lead Reform UK this week. Especially because of the local elections, if the Tories do badly enough, that he might come back. Luckily for him as well, The way that Reform UK is set up is they wouldn't need to do any leadership election. He'd just come back and sort of take over. And I think it's looking... I think he's still going to struggle to get a parliamentary seat, which is reportedly what he wants. But at the minute, I think this is sort of the best chance he's had since UKIP, almost 10 years ago now, to do very well in a general election and possibly win a parliamentary seat. So were he to come back, and I think that it is, we're getting closer and closer to that point, I think it would work out quite well for him. So, and all of this sort of press coverage and speculation about whether he's coming back only builds into this sort of this whole thing with him.
Convinced?
Is it the case that he should be
on the board?
There's a case that he's having a fairly good time, I guess. We've got
David Cameron, I guess.
We've got all sorts of, dare I say, less than world leader people on there.
We'll allow it, but I'm not happy about it.
Wow.
And actually, I'm going to say we'll allow it, but if you forget to print off, cut out, and stick him on the board by next week, he's not allowed.
Yeah.
I'll commit to that.
1 week.
Yeah.
Or maybe days, depending on TODR's scheduling and whether we go on emergency or not.
Is this just before the next podcast that we do?
Before the next podcast, he needs to be on the wall. He can't be added. Someone else can add him in the future, but you can never add him.
Right.
You're frozen out of this round.
Frozen out on Farage.
You are. Rory, who is your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is Mark Rutter.
Oh, excellent.
Thank you.
Has he never been on the board?
He's never been on the board. We often think he is because Ulf Christensen is. Ulf Christensen is, and they sort of look similar.
They do look similar.
Are we sure
we've not just lost his picture?
Possibly.
I genuinely think he's been
He must have been on the board before.
I wasted time and ink printing him out. He is still Dutch Prime Minister, somehow. Outgoing. But he's effectively running to be the next Secretary General of NATO. And he's got a lot of backing. And he got the crucial backing of Turkey. President Erdogan backed him, which is... Turkey and Hungary were the sort of two holdouts, I think, they're often the ones with NATO. But he's got the backing for Turkey now to be NATO's next leader. So he's on course, not confirmed, but sort of on course to getting that job, which would be nice for him, I guess, going from prime minister to NATO leader.
Absolutely.
Which is interesting because when he resigned or said he would resign as prime minister, I'm pretty sure he said something along the lines of, I don't know what I'll do. Maybe I'll go back to teaching. Maybe I'll do this. It was very humble. And now it's like head of NATO. It's a bit...
But
he's doing all right. So put him on there.
I mean, this is a dubious ad too, I've got to say as well. Like maybe head of NATO, like he's still kind of nothing.
At least he's still prime minister.
Prime minister, that is true.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll allow it. But we will make
it pretty weak week this week.
Yeah. Yeah, this podcast is in a shambles across the board. We will see you maybe on Friday for another edition where we round up the
got to move Trudeau.
What?
Trudeau.
We didn't even do Trudeau. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. This is the end.
I can't believe people listen to this.
I don't think they should. We've got to move Trudeau. It's a Canada special.
We've got to move Trudeau down because vaguely, like, general vibe of Canadian politics is that his party polling way in second place behind the Conservatives.
What's actually happening?
Like,
Trudeau's going down. Trudeau's going down. What do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you believe
about? I thought we have quite rigorously enforced and established rules that is one up, one down per person.
And we also quite vigorously established that he needed to move, but both of you did not.
I didn't forget. I wasn't involved.
You definitely were in the room.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Should we explain the Canada thing now at the end of the episode, just in case anyone's sticking around and wondering?
I feel like the people who are here still are the same people who are here still last week, and they get it.
Yeah.
It's the people at the beginning who are immediately put off by the Canada branding.
And instantly closed
it's
the
too late now. We're how many minutes deep? 38 minutes deep-ish, depending on edits. I mean, it's going to be a lot of edits. I reckon we're going to be about 15 minutes deep. What a terrible episode of the world's worst politics podcast.
Should we?
That should be the title. That's a great title.
The worst podcast ever made. Oh, dear.
Remember we did a podcast called We're Quitting, brackets, maybe.
And it did really well.
It did really well.
It did a lot better than the one where we said we're coming back.
No one wants us to come back. Everyone wants us to leave. Oh, well... Speaking of which, we are going to leave and we'll be back next week or Friday. Either way, we will discuss local elections and review the predictions. And remember, do your own predictions. Tell us who should be moving on the leaderboard. And tell us, make the comment section really Canadian. Like, I don't know what that means, but if you're still here, comment something vaguely Canadian, just because, like, this episode has not been Canadian enough, and we forgot about Trudeau. So we've got to make up for it, otherwise we've got to do another Canada special soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Oh, come on.
That was a great ending.
what did you say?
I just said a great ending. Thank you.